Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about empowering each of us with the perspective and tools to grow and change. I'm so happy that you joined us today, and I hope you're having a great day. You know, our mission here at Open Your Eyes is to help us all open our eyes a bit more to the possibilities and realities all around us. And each week, that's what we try to do by bringing you these messages in this podcast. So today, wherever you are as you listen to this podcast, I hope you get a new perspective of how you can think and live better. Let's get started. This episode today is for the person who feels behind, for the person who keeps trying while other people seem to break through faster, for the person who wonders if all the small efforts and quiet improvements and repeated disappointments are actually leading anywhere. Because sometimes in life, it can feel like we're standing in line for a dream that never calls our number. But what if the waiting is not wasted? What if the years nobody notices are actually the years building the person capable of handling the moment when it finally arrives? And now and then, you've wondered if you should quit, maybe even dozens of times, and you've re-decided to keep going one more time. Here's the one thing that I've learned. Every time you decide again, you get a little better, and you can decide again. Not overnight, not dramatically, but gradually, quietly, powerfully. And this I know, your time will indeed come. Not long ago, Brian Torres stepped into a Major League Baseball stadium wearing the St. Louis Cardinals uniform. To most fans, it seemed like another rookie making his debut as a Major League player. That happens many times each year. Maybe it looked like another young player finally arriving, finally realizing his dream. But Brian was not a typical prospect. He was 28 years old, and he'd been chasing that moment for 11 years. 11 years. Think about that. Most professional baseball careers don't even last that long, and many players never make it past the lower minor leagues. Others quit after injuries, disappointment, or simply realizing the odds are almost impossible. In fact, less than 1 out of 10 players that sign a major league contract will actually play in a Major League Baseball game. Everyone else never makes it out of the minor leagues. Torres signed a minor league contract with Milwaukee in 2015, was later cut by Milwaukee and claimed off waivers by San Francisco, became a free agent after the 21 season, and spent 2 years with the independent Milwaukee Milkmen of the American Association. Then he signed a minor league deal with the Cardinals in September of 2023. He hit .331, with 28 doubles, 2 homers, 56 RBIs, 33 stolen bases at AA Springfield, then was promoted to AAA Memphis and batted .328 with 16 doubles, 9 homers, and 51 RBIs in 2025. He played through long bus rides, empty stadiums, tiny paychecks, uncertainty, and seasons where nobody outside of baseball circles knew his name. He was often discouraged. He silently quit. And at one point, he came within a whisper of retiring from baseball altogether. I mean, how would you feel stuck in the minor leagues for so long? You have invested years into something. You've watched younger players pass you. You've seen friends move on with stable careers and stable income. And you start asking the dangerous question, what if this isn't going to happen for me? You know, that question breaks a lot of people. But Brian's mother wouldn't let him quit. Torres decided over and over again with her encouragement. Instead of becoming bitter, he became better and kept working on his game. You know, disappointment can do one of two things. It can harden you or it can sharpen you. And Brian sharpened. He improved his hitting. He refined his discipline at the plate. He stole bases. He became one of the best players in independent baseball. And eventually, the Cardinals organization noticed. Then came the moment. I was in the clubhouse sitting in my seat, and my manager, Ben Johnson, said, "I've got some good news for you," Brian said. "Torres is going to the show." Everyone started yelling and jumping up and down. Some of them started crying with me, he said. His first call was to his mother. Since I was a young kid, 4 years old, she lost all her weekends to bring me to the stadium. During the week, she always brought me to the park to practice and play. His parents traveled from Puerto Rico for his first game. It was very emotional. He was crying, and when I received it, I cried with him, his mom said. That was a special moment. What did Brian do during his first professional league game? He hit a home run. 11 years, thousands of swings, years where nobody interviewed him, years where nobody believed he was a future major leaguer, years where the dream probably felt embarrassing to even say out loud. And then suddenly, the world sees the home run, the celebration, the highlight. What the world never saw was the accumulation, the countless moments where he chose not to quit. That's the real story, not the home run, the decisions to begin again and again and again. Now, here's what I love about Brian's story. Brian Torres did not become successful because he magically stayed motivated for 11 straight years. Nobody does. He became successful because every time discouragement showed up, he made another decision. One more season, one more workout, one more try. And every time he decided again, he got better. That's how real breakthroughs happen. Now, maybe you feel like in your business or life or in search of your recent goals, you've been stuck in the minor leagues. You know you can advance your business. You want to overcome that habit and rise and become the real you, but things just don't seem to come your way. All while others are reaching their goals, and you wonder from time to time if you're in the right place or profession or purpose. And if this is you, then take a lesson from Brian. Your time will come. There is a lie the world tells us, and there is a lie that discouragement whispers to us. The lie is that successful people arrive quickly. We celebrate overnight success stories. We admire the championship, the launch, the promotion, the celebrations. But most meaningful success is delayed. The world only sees the harvest, but God sees the planting. And sometimes the planting lasts a very long time. For years, I taught business strategy at a top university here in the U.S. in their business school. A few years back, a young woman named Tara showed up at our university. None of the students sitting in class with her knew that she had grown up in rural Idaho in a survivalist family. Living in isolation, her parents, who believed the world was coming to an end, never enrolled her in school. She worked most days in a scrapyard with her father. That was her education. But Tara's older brother had left the family and found his way to college and told her that she should apply. So she got an ACT study guide and taught herself, took the test, and got an okay score. And the admissions office admitted her, seeing perhaps that she deserved an opportunity. In her first history class, the professor talked about the Holocaust. Tara raised her hand in class and asked, "What's the Holocaust?" She didn't know what it was. In her science class, her professors used vocabulary to describe basic anatomy. She didn't know the vocabulary. She didn't know how to study or take notes or prepare for exams, and it was clear to her and her professors that she was not prepared for college and life, for that matter. What do you do? How could she catch up with the things she should have learned in elementary school? As they measured the gap between where she was and where she needed to be, her professor told her, "We wish you could go back and begin again." Do you know what she did? She said, "That's what I'll do. I know whatever has happened has led me here to this moment in time, and I could be discouraged by my circumstances or my lack of preparation. I must seize the moment." And she started again. She went back to her dorm and started teaching herself, literally using textbooks from fourth and fifth grade. She studied obsessively. She read in every spare minute of the day, and little by little, she started to realize that she could learn anything. She failed a few classes early, but in a short period of time, she filled in years of missing education. As she learned, she also made some changes in her life. And she was so used to learning at that pace that when she graduated from college, she was accepted to the University of Cambridge and then Harvard and went on to get her PhD. Today, she lives in Brooklyn and is a writer with a New York Times #1 best-selling memoir. Now, while not to her degree, maybe you have been questioning whether you can redecide again with real commitment and let go of the past and the things that have happened in your business thus far and restart with all of your effort. Here's something that I know. In this life, or maybe in your business or in your personal struggles, we will fall. And the number of falls doesn't matter if you rise again. The Japanese have a saying, nanakarobi yaoki, and it means fall seven times, rise eight. Here's my experience. When you begin again, the next start is so much more beautiful and fulfilling. It's like being born again. You have more experience, understanding, and feeling of purpose. And it is beautiful. You know, maybe you've slowed down lately. You can begin again. Maybe you missed an advancement in your business, let's say. You can begin again. Maybe you didn't live up to overcoming that habit. You can begin again. Maybe you're tired, discouraged, excited, hopeful, or whatever it is, you can begin again. You know, years ago in my life, something that I had worked very hard for came to an unexpected end. And I was facing the prospect of beginning again. It just so happened that I listened to a sermon by Joel Osteen. And I still today remember it. I had gone from my house and I was walking up the road. I was walking because in addition to my change in my profession, I had torn my meniscus in my knee and I couldn't run. And running was a big emotional and physical outlet for me. So I'd gone out for a walk and I was gloomy and feeling sorry for myself, and I plugged in this podcast. The title of Joel's podcast that day was The Power of Letting Go. He explained that his father had serious heart problems, and despite prayer and faith, he had passed away. And Osteen admits he struggled with disappointment and confusion because his mother had previously been healed from cancer, and he did not understand why, despite his prayers, his father was not healed as well. He says he could have become bitter, but instead he eventually chose to release the pain and trust that God still had a plan for him. At the time, he was working as the producer for his father's ministry, but with the passing of his father, Joel stepped up to minister the church. And in the podcast, he taught that what initially appears to be life's darkest moments can later become a turning point toward a greater destiny. It was like a light switch went off inside me. Instead of feeling sorry for myself, I decided to let the past go, let ill feelings for other people who had treated me poorly go, and I decided to give all my energy to the future and what was before me. And I can tell you that whenever I'm tempted to relive or revisit the past, I remember this day, the day I decided to begin again. I found more joy, more satisfaction, more growth personally than I would have ever found on that original path. Osteen says, people often become emotionally stuck because they continuously ask, why? Why did my marriage fail? Why didn't I advance in my business, even though I worked so hard? Why did tragedy strike innocent people? He argues that not every question receives a satisfying earthly explanation. To cope with this reality, he introduces the idea of a I don't understand it file. Instead of mentally exhausting oneself by trying to solve every painful mystery, he encourages people to acknowledge that some things simply cannot currently be explained and must be entrusted to heaven. Now, maybe you haven't had the best year this year in your efforts to grow your business. You can relive the past, wonder why, or wish things had been different, or you can put a period on that part of your story and begin writing a new chapter. And like Brian Torres, you can improve your swing, up your batting average, and get better at your business, better than you've ever been before, and begin again. And here's the thing. People who've been doing something for a while without the full success they were seeking rarely realize just how close they really are. The breakthrough might just be one more conversation away, one more approach away, one more improvement away, one more attempt away. But quitting guarantees you'll never find out. If you quit, you'll never get the chance. But over time, those tiny improvements you make each time you begin again compound and increase at an increasing rate. That's true in leadership, in parenting, in business, in faith, in communication, in health. Nobody becomes extraordinary instantly. People become extraordinary by repeatedly improving ordinary things. One better conversation, one better habit, one better decision. Again, you don't have to be amazing overnight. You just have to decide again. And sometimes the greatest growth that happens in your life is happening during the years that appear least impressive to everybody else. You've likely heard the story of Grandma Moses. She spent most of her life as a farmer's wife. She raised children, she cooked, she cleaned, she worked. Art was not her career. In fact, she didn't seriously begin painting until her late 70s, 78 years old. Most people at that age are convinced their meaningful contribution is behind them, but Grandma Moses started. Why? Because arthritis made embroidery too painful, so she painted instead. At first, her paintings sold for just a few dollars. Then an art collector discovered her work in a pharmacy window. Eventually, her paintings became world famous. Her artwork was displayed internationally, and she painted into her hundreds. Grandma Moses could have easily believed the lie, "It's too late for me." How many people stop pursuing growth because they think they missed their window? Well, I'm too old or too late or too far behind, too inexperienced. But your timeline is not the same as someone else's timeline. Some flowers bloom early, some bloom late, but both are still flowers. And here's the amazing part. Everything Grandma Moses had lived through gave depth to her paintings. The years mattered. The struggles mattered. The seasons mattered. Sometimes what feels like delay is actually preparation. The wisdom you have now, the skills you have now, the resilience you have now, you may not have had those qualities earlier. There are things that only time can teach you. And maybe your later success becomes your advantage. Maybe the reason your story will matter is because it took longer. Perhaps when Brian hit that home run in his major league debut, the emotion was deeper because of the wait. 11 years gave the moment meaning. And maybe he was able to hit the home run in his debut because all of the pitches that he had experienced over 11 years. Now, I know that staying in the game can often be a lonely thing. One of the hardest things in life is continuing when there is no applause, when nobody notices your improvement, when your progress feels slow, when you're working quietly while other people appear to be racing ahead. But life isn't always a sprint. Sometimes it's construction. And construction, good construction, takes time. You know, before Sylvester Stallone became famous for Rocky, he was struggling badly. He had very little money. At one point, he reportedly sold his dog because he couldn't afford to feed him. He struggled getting acting parts that really mattered, like lead parts in movies. So he decided to write a screenplay for himself. The story was about an underdog boxer who keeps getting back up. The studios liked the script, but there was one problem. They didn't want Stallone to star in it. They wanted a more established actor. Now imagine the temptation. You're broke, you're desperate, and someone offers to buy your script for more money than you have ever seen before. Most people would say yes immediately, but Stallone already had been trying for years, and those years had taught him something. He wasn't going to get where he wanted unless he wrote his own screenplay. He kept refusing offers because he wanted to play Rocky himself. Eventually, the studios agreed, and Rocky became one of the most iconic sports films ever made. But here's the part that people forget. The movie isn't about boxing. It's about beginning again, starting over, and staying in the game, which is exactly what Stallone did in his life because his years of struggle informed his direction. And as Rocky shows, sometimes all we can decide to do is to go one more round. And sometimes that's all you need, one more round. Every decision to continue changes you, not just your future, but you. Maybe you gain perspective or faith or humility. Remember, goals eventually end, but character, the character you develop, remains. And maybe that's why staying with it matters so much, because you are building yourself. You know, I think this may be God's perspective. When we see the end from the beginning, the goals we set or reach or didn't reach in this life will pale in comparison to the person He is helping us to become. One great minister once said, "I believe with all my heart that because God loves us, there are some particularized challenges that He will give to each of us. He will customize the curriculum for each of us in order to teach us the things we most need to know. He will set before us in life what we need, not always what we like. And this will require us to accept the truth that there is divine design in our lives and that you have a rendezvous to keep, individually and collectively. What therefore may seem now to be mere unconnected pieces of our life, things that don't make full sense today, will someday, when we look back, take form and pattern, and we will realize that God was making a mosaic, and He is helping us to become something remarkable. So, how do you actually stay with it when life gets discouraging? Well, the first thing to remember is that your decision to begin again is something you will likely do many times. It happens to all of us. We don't overcome that weakness or break that habit in a single decision. We try and try and try before we overcome. And instead of asking, am I there yet? Maybe we ask, am I better than I was? That question changes everything, because success is often built through tiny improvements, repeated consistently. Even successful people want to quit sometimes. Discouragement is not proof you're on the wrong path. In fact, difficulty and discouragement actually may mean you're on the right path and you're where you're supposed to be. Remember, you are more than one season, more than one failure, more than one missed opportunity. So, begin again. Decide again. This may be the biggest decision yet, to simply try again. One more approach, one more conversation, one more chapter, one more attempt. You have likely been trying for a long time, and maybe nobody sees it. Maybe your progress feels small, and maybe you secretly wonder if your opportunity has passed you. If so, remember Brian Torres. 11 years. Not 11 weeks, not 11 months, 11 years. And then one swing changed everything for him. It wasn't really one swing. It was thousands of unseen swings, thousands of moments where he decided to stay with it. Your story too may feel delayed, but it's not denial. And I promise your time will come. And when it comes, you will know the truth. You will know it was built quietly over time, decision by decision. You know, today, people remember Abraham Lincoln as one of the greatest presidents in American history, but his path was filled with repeated disappointment and failure. He grew up in poverty, had very little formal education, and spent years teaching himself. As a young man, he started a business that failed. It left him deep in debt. He lost jobs. He lost elections. He experienced personal heartbreak and severe depression. What's remarkable is not that Lincoln failed. Many people fail. What's remarkable is how many times he decided again. He ran for the Illinois State Legislature and lost. He tried business and failed. He ran for Congress and lost. He ran again later and won, only to lose support after. He sought a position in the land office and was rejected. He ran for the Senate and lost. He ran for vice president and lost. He ran for the Senate again and lost. At several points, most people would have concluded that politics simply was not meant for them. Imagine the conversations people probably had about him. Oh, he's not leadership material, or he's aiming too high, or maybe he should move on. But Lincoln kept learning from each defeat. He became a stronger communicator, a deeper thinker, a more empathetic leader. The setbacks developed humility and resilience. His losses shaped the very character that later allowed him to lead the nation through civil war. History remembers the victory, but the victory was built on repeated commitment. Lincoln did not become great because his life worked smoothly. He became great because disappointment never got the final word. Every election loss became another chance to refine himself. Every painful season became preparation. And maybe the most important part of the story is this: when Lincoln lost, he didn't restart from zero. He restarted from the experience that he gained. That's what happens every time you decide again. So, start from your past experience. Decide again today and watch. You will rise to be who you were meant to be, and you will reach your goals because of who you have become. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend. And join us next week for another podcast as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.